Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain. Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I have been really anxiously looking forward to this episode because I had actually never heard of the author that I'm having on. But when I saw her passions for foster care, special needs, adoption, and we just had so many things that I am also passionate about that I said yes to the interview without even looking at her book. But then I got her book. And God is using it to just really deeply convict me. And I'm so excited for us to have this discussion. The book was not at all what I expected, but in the best of ways. I don't know what I expected, but it was very different than that. And so Jessica Hurlbut, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. You are the author of Unlimited Motherhood, Overcome 12 Limits That Overwhelm and Conflict Our Hearts. And you have a unique story. And I'd love for you to start by just sharing a little bit of that with us.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks, Crystal. I mean, this is awesome to be here and to be with you and to be in your home. It's just an honor. So yeah, a little bit about me. I'm from upstate New York. Me and my husband have pastored there for 20 years and we have five kiddos. We were just talking a lot before we went on air about all of our similarities, me and Crystal. Our youngest is 10 and our oldest is 16. I have two kids with severe autism. They're our biological children, but we also have adopted two kiddos who are siblings through foster care. We fostered for 2 years, got them as newborns, and they are part of our family now, Isaac and Emma. And so at one point we had three babies under one, and my daughter had just got diagnosed with severe autism. So everybody was like, "You are crazy." And I had to just confer and say, yes, I am.
Okay, so you said you got them as newborns. Are they twins?
No, they're a year apart. Okay. Yeah, so kind of basically we said yes to fostering and adopting. God kind of moved on our hearts. Would we be willing to do this? We said yes. We took the 12-week classes and got a call like soon after, right? And so we picked up this little newborn boy. His name is Isaac. Oh my gosh, he's the cutest thing in the whole world. And a week later, I found out I was pregnant. So I was like, oh, well, kind of we're just like fostering and adopting, have another biological child, whatever you want. We weren't expecting them to happen simultaneously. But I thought, you know what? We don't know. We were fostering him. So we didn't know if Isaac was going to be staying with us long term. It was kind of like, okay, we're just going to, as long as the season is, love on this child. And I got 9 months till, you know, my child comes. So we'll just see what happens. And about 7 or 8 months in to our journey of fostering, I was taking my son on a visit and the biological mom says, guess what? I'm pregnant. So she ended up having a baby, like 12 months after he was born. So I had my child in July and then my daughter Emma was born in January. So yeah, like three babies, one and under.
That is amazing. And that beats me because
it's a competition, don't you know? Yeah,
no. We said yes to fostering and then found out that I was pregnant. It was kind of the same week of our home study. We had been told we couldn't have any more biological children. And so we ended up saying yes to a newborn from the NICU 4 weeks before I had our biological daughter. And so we had these literal two newborns. The funniest thing is that it was in the middle of COVID. So didn't see a lot of people for a few months. And so then when we saw them again, we had two babies.
I love it.
And it was such a sweet season, but it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And then you throw fostering in there with all of the different visits and things like that and the unknowns. That is a lot. And so you fostered for 2 years and then adopted.
Yep. So we had both of our children I was close to, Emma was a little bit shorter of a term, but their parents surrendered their rights about 2 years into the fostering. And we've had them ever since. So they don't know, they don't even remember going on visits with their biological parents. I mean, they know they're adopted. We talk about it. You know, we're very much advocates for just like, this isn't like a secret thing or something to be ashamed of. This is a beautiful thing. And we always tell our kids, your parents loved you, but they didn't have the ability to care for you the way that they needed to. And so that was kind of a crazy journey. And a few years after we had adopted my biological son, Jake, who I had while we were fostering, was diagnosed with autism, severe autism, also at the same developmental center, at going on the same highway, seeing the same doctors. So we found ourselves in that same boat again as with my daughter 4 years previous. So I call that whole chunk of time my hidden years. And I think we have different, you know, whoever's listening, I think we go through these seasons. It looks different. It might not be as chaotic and crazy as mine, but we go through these seasons of hidden years where God kind of just pulls us away and does something deep in our heart. So I had 8 years pretty much. Not only was I a stay-at-home mom, which I always wanted to be, but this was not what I was imagining. There were a lot of meltdowns and a lot of hard times. But during those 8 years with my daughter on the spectrum, she had so many meltdowns that it became almost impossible for us to do anything. Like I would take the kids, all the kids to the park, and we'd be leaving like 5 minutes later because she'd, you know, get upset about something and start crying and then just throw herself on the ground. And I have to pick her up and kind of throw her over my shoulder and be like, everybody, we're leaving, you know? And it just got to the point where you stop trying to do anything fun because it always seemed to end bad. So I really spent like 8 years kind of, you know, it sounds really sad, but unable to leave my house. And I know if you have littles or, you know, if you have a special needs child, you know what I'm talking about. But it was so extreme that at times we couldn't even do a drive-through. Because one of the things we like to try to do was, hey, let's put all the kids in the car, go get ice cream. It's a nice summer day. Let's just go for a drive, you know, maybe stop by we live on a river, you know, stop by the water. And there were times literally that she would just start screaming for, sometimes we wouldn't know why. Why we're at the intercom of the drive-thru and we would have to drive away without the ice cream or without the food. And so it was a very, very hard season. Kind of on the other side of that, again, not that she doesn't still have struggles. She's 15 now, but man, God did a lot. And that's honestly where this book came from, is God just taught me so much in those 8 years, those hidden years, that I felt like, man, there's got to be people out there, whether you have a child on the spectrum or you're just raising little ones and you kind of feel like the world's passing you by and you love your kids, but you're like, man, God, what's going on in my own life? I think God has so many truths he wants to teach us through this journey of motherhood. And some of them are beautiful and some of them are really, really hard. And I don't think we talk a lot about them. We talk about like, oh, spend time for yourself and all these nice self-care tips. But I think at the end of the day, we need to talk about things like the hidden years. We need to talk about the hard stuff, the vulnerable stuff, so that people don't feel they're alone on this journey in motherhood. And so that they see that God's doing something in and through even those hard seasons in motherhood. So,
well, and what I really appreciate about this book, I feel like anyone could read it,
yeah.
You know, where it says motherhood, but honestly, the truths in it could apply to anyone, and that you went below the surface.
Yes.
You know, you weren't just talking about like the practical stuff. That's great. We all need that and that encouragement, but we really need to get to the heart and the root,
yes,
of the dysfunction, the unhealth, the, you know, where we're really struggling. And I really, really appreciated that. And, you know, the other thing is that you were honest about so many of your struggles, and this reads almost like a memoir to me, you know, and I loved you telling your story, and you have so many interesting stories.
So many crazy stories.
But one thing that kept coming to mind is, you know, when you have these three babies and you just get this diagnosis of autism, that is a lot to wrap your head around. And then you adopt, and then you get another diagnosis of autism. Is that the timeline?
Yes, yep, exactly.
It just feels like there would be a lot of grief in that, of like what you thought your life was going to be and how it actually was. How did you process through that?
Yeah, well, it's a process. First, I think that's the most important word, because I think sometimes we think that, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to get over this eventually. It takes years. You know, one of the best ways I describe it is that, you know, the wound, honestly, there was a wound in my own heart. I found myself, to be honest, angry at God, because I think we have in our head, like, this is the way my life is going to look. And we might even like say, this is what God wants for me, but it usually never pans out the way you envision. And it's easy to get disillusioned. It's easy to get angry. And I always talk about how, like, it kind of felt like it was this wound in my heart. Like, can I really trust God? You know, and I talk about in the book, it's one thing to love someone. You can love someone and not trust them. And it's the same thing with God. I loved Jesus. I got, you know, I became a Christian when I was 16 years old and didn't grow up in a Christian home. But the trust thing, man, it felt like it got broke almost. Like, I had all these hard things happen in my life. And it felt like, God, where are you? Like, we're pastors. We're trying to do what you want for our life. We're trying to, you know, talk to people and pray for them and bless them. And here we are with like this super hard, hard life. And just dealing with that felt like this big wound, but time and God, of course, God's healing, causes it to be a scar. Mm. You know, whereas, you know, 5-7 years ago, I couldn't talk about some of these things without getting really emotional and still feeling some of those anger and disappointment. It's all gone now. But I think that the most important thing is it is a process, mm-hmm. right? And then just realizing, you know, I have this quote in the book that, you know, the life we envisioned and the life we live now, like, that's God's favorite spot to show up. Like, that's where he goes camping. He sets up his tent right there in that gap between the life we envisioned and the life we now live. And to be a Christian, like, who fully surrendered to God, that should be our home too. Like, it's never gonna look like what we think. But the problem is we think, oh, it's so much harder, so it must be so much worse. No, if you get over this other side of the mountain, you actually realize it's so much more beautiful. Like I say all the time, I never imagined my life would be this hard, just to be honest. But I never imagined it would be this beautiful, mm-hmm. and God would use it this much. And I think that's the place he's trying to bring all of us to, is to kind of die to those expectations of what you thought your life would be, but not in this hopeless, like, wow, this is so sad. I guess I'll never have kids, or I guess, you know, I'll never have typical kids. I'll have these special needs kids. I'll have to care, whatever it is, fill in the blank. I guess I'll never be married. Whatever it is we're struggling with, we think we want to stay in this place of like despair. Like, I guess I'll never. But what I want people to realize is that if you continue to just press into God, what your expectations were, he had something better for you. You actually have to believe that, though. And sometimes you can't see it for 5, 10, 15 years down the road, but you look back and you realize, wow, I wanted this over here and God did this. Mm. And it's so much more beautiful and so much more impacting and so much greater than what I envisioned for my own life. And that's what faith is. It's that trust in the middle of the mess. It's the trust in the middle of the hidden years that God is in this story. He has something better. And it's not just a cliche, but I'm going to see it as the years roll by and I'm going to see what he's doing, you know. So
we hear often about probiotics and gut health and the importance of prioritizing probiotics and gut health. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming to know, where do we start? What do we do? What brand should we trust? Well, an easy place to start is with Seeds DS-01 Daily Symbiotic and PDS-08 Pediatric Daily Symbiotic. They are clinically studied probiotic and prebiotic formulations that are easy to add to your family's daily routine, and they help support whole body health for parents and kids. One of the things I love about Seed probiotics, the DS-01 and the PDS-08, is that they don't need refrigeration. So it's so convenient, you can take it on the go. I also recommend that you, if you're wanting to start this habit, stack it onto another habit. So what is something that you do every morning? Every morning, do you eat breakfast? Well, as soon as you eat breakfast, let that be your reminder to also take your probiotic. You can even set it out at night, because like I said, it doesn't need to be refrigerated. So set it out at night, right by where you're going to prep your breakfast in the morning, as a reminder to take it. The DS-01 Daily Symbiotic, which is for 18 and over, this is for adults, the one that I've been taking, is backed by rigorous scientific validation. It's formulated with 24 scientifically and clinically studied strains for benefits across gut, skin, and heart health, and it's extensively tested for potency, purity, and contaminants. Invest in your whole family's health with Seed. Go to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month of DSO1 Daily Symbiotic or PDSO8 Pediatric Daily Symbiotic. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 or PDSO8 at seed.com/crystal, code 25crystal.
I love this quote. You said, God will give you more than you can handle. It's the only way he can move you from a place of self-sufficiency to God-reliance. Trust the process. And we were talking before we started recording about our journey with David. And one of the things that I had always thought is, I could never have a child with Down syndrome. I mean, literally, my mom got pregnant when I was 17 years old. She was 45. And I couldn't be excited about her pregnancy because the whole entire time I thought my brother was going to have Down syndrome. And I was so scared of that. And it's just so interesting that God knew that actually that was going to be the thing that was going to deeply change my heart in the best of ways. But it was the thing that I was like, I can't do it. And like when David came to us, I was like, I can foster him. I can love him. I can't adopt him.
Wow.
And I just remember crying out to God being like, I can't do this. Like when I was thinking, I think this might lead to I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And God's like, yeah, you can't, but I can through you. And you're going to get to see me show up in such powerful ways that you wouldn't if you stayed in that place where it's like, well, I'm only going to do what feels safe. You know, and this is what I loved your book so much. You just really challenge us to get out of that space that's safe.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes we get forced out of it and we don't have a choice. But other times it's this conscious choice, right? Like when I decided to foster and wanting to adopt, you know, my family was like, you're crazy. Because our daughter had just been diagnosed with autism. You have so much on your plate. And, you know, I kind of got annoyed in that moment, but I knew it was God that was leading me this way. And what's funny is I didn't know what the future held for me. I didn't know if we would actually adopt through foster care, like you're saying. I didn't know if I would have other biological children. But I look back now and I realize, man, I thought, like in our situation, we thought, oh, let's go help these kids. We're going to go. This is a horrible mentality to have, but just going to be honest, this is where we were. Well, we're going to foster and adopt and we're going to save some kids. And what I realized when I look back at my story now is God was actually saving us. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous to think about, but it's true. He knew you're going to have, you know, I had Mara at the time, but he knew the struggles I was going to have with Mara. He knew I was going to have another son, Jacob, biological son, and that he too would have severe autism, and that I would have two children that we adopted through foster care that are typical, amazing, loving. I mean, my adopted son and my son with autism are best friends. Mm-hmm. They're pretty much the same exact age. Like he knew we needed them. We thought like, oh, we're going to go help them. No, like they were helping us. Mm-hmm. Like they were a blessing to our family in like ways I can't even describe. And that's the whole trust thing. Like where you step out in faith, you trust that I don't know how this is going to pan out, but this is what God's leading me to do. And it's going to be more beautiful than what I imagined, but it won't look anything like what you picture. So just stop trying. You know, I teach this. At my church, we have this young adult. It's called Momentum. It's like a gap year program that we do with young adults when they graduate high school. And one of the first things I tell them is like, imagine whatever you want your life to look like one day. You know, you want to be a missionary. You want to marry a pastor. You want to whatever, you know, you want to have kids and have a homestead and, you know, raise your own food or, you know, raise your own animals and food or whatever it is. Imagine that life. Now I just want you to realize that will probably never happen. They're like, you're so mean. And I'm like, no, it's not mean. It's taking your expectations and what you want for your life and surrendering it and trusting God and saying, hey, you know what? This is what I hope for. And maybe some of those things, desires will come true, but it's probably not going to look anything like what you expected, but it's going to be better. Mm.
And I feel like that gives you this deep inner peace in the midst of so much chaos that can often be in our lives. And in the wild adventure, that's what we call it at our house,
totally
like the wild adventure of like, God is the one who is leading. I'm not in control of this. I am not in charge. He is. And so I can trust him even on the really hard days.
Yep.
I can trust him and I can know that he's going to be faithful. He has been faithful. He will be faithful. He is faithful. And so I just love that message because I feel like oftentimes that's not the message we hear in motherhood. It's almost mm-mm. like, here's how we survive. Here's how to get yes. through. And it's like, I love how you're saying, here's how to be in it and be in those hidden years and be present in it and just trust God in the middle of the mess, like you say. Right.
And I think a lot of times in like motherhood or parenting books, you see a lot of like how to control your kids or how to ensure they'll be Christians or how to. And I just knew from the get-go, I don't want to write a how-to. And those things aren't bad. But I, in my own life, one of the biggest lessons I've learned is control is an illusion. Mm-hmm. So let's just stop pretending and let's start trusting. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not, and I think sometimes, you know, and I've read a lot of motherhood books and Christian parenting books. Another theme I see a lot is this idea of like, be better, do more, like how to be a better parent. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But what happened to me, especially with my daughter with autism, I would read all of these books about like how to help her talk more and how to be the best parent and how to do play therapy and how to do all of these things that I fell into what I call a black hole. And you don't have to have a child with autism to fall into this black hole, but a black hole where it's like, do all of these things, be super mom, and then things are going to turn out okay. But it made me the savior. And after doing that for 5 years, I've came to this place where I'm like, wow, I can't do this. Like kind of what you're talking about, that self-sufficiency to God reliance. I can't be the superhero of the day. I actually am not supposed to be. Jesus is. He loves my kids more than I do. I don't need a list of all of these things that I need to do. It's not about doing more. It's about trusting more. And I just don't think we hear that enough. It's about trusting God in the middle of it more than just trying to be everything. And one of the things I say is actually towards the end of my book, because we all want our kids to grow up, you know, healthy, happy, successful in, you know, whatever sense that looks like, loving God, like every parent should want that for their children. But one of the things I realized is we try so hard to make that happen. We try to be the savior. And I think one of the biggest things that we can do is actually be in love with Jesus, passionately in love with him ourselves. Like, not that we don't focus on our kids, but at the end of the day, man, if I'm following after him and they see an authentic faith, right? Like it's not just all like, oh, pretty. And like they see the vulnerable times, they see us making hard choices and sacrificing because Jesus told us to. Like, to me, that is the most alluring thing. It's the most like, wow, I want that for my life. I want what my parents have. Like it's so authentic and real. And our kids cannot be something until they see something. Mm. And so our responsibility has to be that. Like, yeah, I can't save them from everything they're going to face in life. I can't, you know, overcome autism and my children's disabilities. I can't be the super mom. But what I can do is passionately pursue Jesus myself with everything in me and hope that when my kids see something, it inspires them to say, I want to be that. I want to do that. That's real. That's authentic. And I want that for my life.
And I think that it's the hard things that we walk through. Mm-hmm. That's when our kids get to see. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when our kids see us having to trust God. The little boy that we fostered that I mentioned that we brought home from the NICU when our biological daughter was born 4 weeks later, he was with us for 8.5 months and then he reunified with his mom. And that was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, to love a child as my own on behalf of his mom and then to let him go.
Right.
And there's just so many unknowns. You just have no idea. Mm-hmm. And God was writing a story that was so different than what I could have ever dreamed or imagined. He turned 4 in February. And we're still super involved in his life. He's going to be here on Friday. He's through the summer, his mom asked if he could come every Friday, which is just such a gift.
Wow.
But it's also a challenge. Like there's a lot of challenges that come along with that because he is very active and he's a very active 4-year-old boy. And you throw that into the mix and it's a lot. But I know that God has used his story in our life and how it's intersect to change our kids because they've had to see us walk through really hard and make really hard decisions. And they've seen us just weep tears of letting go. And it's been so hard, but so good. Like you've talked about again and again. And I love you tell a story in the book about someone that you brought into your home for a year and how God used that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So me and my husband were youth pastors for 11 years before we were lead pastors. We've been lead pastors for 8. And, you know, you run into a lot of different teenagers and needs, you know, when you're a youth pastor. And there was a man, well, he was 20 years old at the time, that came into our life. His name is Adam. And honestly, it wasn't like he started coming to our youth group. It was, we have a good connection with Teen Challenge. If you don't know what Teen Challenge is, they help people that are in addiction kind of break those addictions. It's a long-term program. It's over a year-long Christian rehab. So we have good connection. Our church does. So a lot of times teams from Teen Challenge would come to our church and they would, raise money at the Walmarts or like the local places. And then they would also share their testimonies and things on Sunday morning. So we'd kind of house them at our church. And one night we got a call because there was a team that was staying the night at our church. And one of the young men that were a part of Teen Challenge had stolen a bunch of money from our church and then kind of tried to make a getaway. And they found him at the bus station. And, you know, obviously they were able to get the money. And, you know, they kind of called us and said, would you like us to press charges? And so my husband said, well, I'll be right there. You know, so he went there and he met this young, I mean, he's 20 or at least really just honestly still a kid. He met this guy and his heart broke for him. And he thought, my gosh, I can't press charges. Yes, this was really stupid. Yes, you shouldn't steal from the church that's housing you. But he just told the police, no, I'll take care of this. And so he called me up and said, hey, I'll be home later. I'm going to go out to eat. And I said, go out to eat with who? He says, with Adam. And I'm like, who's Adam again? The guy that stole from us. And I'm like, okay. Well, then he's gone for like hours and he finally comes home. I'm getting a little worried. Like, okay, like I'm sure the restaurant's closed by now. It's like 10 o'clock. Why are you not home? And finally my husband shows up at the door with Adam. And as soon as I saw him, you know, it's just something when God moves on your heart, it doesn't make any logical sense. But as soon as I saw him and he ended up staying at our house, you know, we sat down and we talked for another 2 hours and he told us about his life and his family and his rough relationship with his dad. And it's just, it was heartbreaking. Some of the stories he shared and he's crying, we're crying. And while he's sharing all of this, I just feel like the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. I want you guys to ask Adam to live with you. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. Like, first of all, my husband will not be on board. Second of all, we only met him an hour ago. Third of all, he just stole from our church. Like, that. There's not a safe, like, nothing about this feels safe. But I get in bed that night, you know, it's late, and I roll over to my husband. I was like, this is going to sound crazy. And he like stops me mid-sentence and he's like, is God telling you that he's supposed to live with us? And I was like, yes. And he's like, yeah, me too. Let's talk about it in the morning. So he ended up living with us for over a year. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely challenging, but it was absolutely beautiful. Every morning I'd come down, he'll clean the kitchen, done all the dishes, which like my husband didn't even do that. Like my kids were too little then. But we had 2 kids at the time and like they were young, 3 and 4. My daughter had just been diagnosed. It was right before we started fostering. And, you know, it just made no sense. There was nothing like, oh, wow, this is a very smart move. No, everyone, even including the Christians in my life, were like, this is dumb. Like, well, you don't know anything about this guy. He could hurt your kids. He could whatever. And I was like, you know what? You're right. But I'm here 24/7. I'm here with the kids. Like, he's going off to work every day. We got him a job. We owned a coffee shop. So we taught him how to work there. He actually became one of like the managers and he got saved. He ended up going to Celebrate Recovery, which is like a Christian program at our church for addiction. And it was amazing and beautiful. But at the same time, it was like, he could not receive love. He tried. Mm-hmm. And he would tell us all the time, it's so hard when I see you with your kids, because I think about the life that I should have had. Mm-hmm. And then I think about the life that I did have. Mm-hmm. And so there was a part of him that received it, but there was a part of him that kept pushing us away, you know, kind of, and you've dealt with foster care too, reactive attachment. I mean, he was 20 years old, but it's the same thing, right? Like you want that love, but then you're afraid people are going to reject you. So you push him away. And one day, about a year after he had been there, he ended up kind of just going missing. And we found out the police were looking for him and he had stolen something from someone. And we didn't see him for over, it was almost 2 years. He spent a short time in jail. Nothing major, but he had some outstanding stuff that we didn't know about from when he was younger and lived in another state. So he had to serve a little bit of a time. But about 2 years later, he ended up coming back, finding us. He had a son at the time. We had dinner with him and he cried and we cried. And, you know, he would text me, like ask me questions like we were his parents, like over the years. And it was just honestly why I was writing the book. I was writing this chapter. And as I was, I couldn't end it. I was like, I don't know how to end this. You know, it's like, beautiful and God did a lot, but like still like kind of this unopened wound. And I found out that week that I was finishing this chapter that he had passed away at 30. We still don't know. We believe it possibly was an overdose and it was just devastating to us. But the beauty in that story is, you know, he came to know Jesus. And even my son, when he was five, actually he was still living with, Adam was still living with us at the time. My son had a dream. And in the dream, he said, Mom, I saw all of us in heaven. And I said, really, all of us? And he goes, yeah, we had a house in heaven. It was so great. And guess who lived with us? And I said, who? And he said, Adam. And so I knew when he passed away, as sad as it was, and I don't know the circumstances, that, man, there is an eternity that's way bigger than what we see now. Mm-hmm. You know, we see some positive effects that we can make in the world. But at the end of the day, there's an eternity where we're going to see every choice, every yes we said has eternal significance and lives are forever changed, you know, and I know he's going to be up there ready to greet us when we get to heaven one day, you know, probably done all my dishes.
Well, and I just love because the story, like there's beauty in it, but there's also brokenness.
Yes, it's not simple. You can't tie it up with a bow and be like, and then everything was perfect. No, it wasn't.
But God used it so much.
God used it.
In your lives, in his life, and who knows the lives that he impacted, mm-hmm. in your son's life. And I just think, but mostly it was about you saying yes. It was that willing obedience to say yes, even if you don't see results. Like God doesn't call us to success. He calls us to faithfulness.
Exactly.
And faithfulness might look very different than what success to some people would look like. But I love this quote in your book. You said, Jesus instructs us to spend our energy on serving him. Here lies the problem with modern day Christianity. We want to sport our WWJD bracelets, but we don't want to do the outrageous things he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid we've settled for a civilized Christianity. Christianity without the cross is just a glorified country club. And I just think of, you know, where did Jesus go?
Mm-hmm.
Who did Jesus go to? Who did Jesus associate with? It wasn't the safe, comfortable places. And if we're truly following hard after Jesus, he's going to call us to do some things that are not safe and not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the places where we are going to get to see him show up. And I just love that is the theme throughout your book. And that's for me what was just so impactful because there's some things he's calling me to say yes to right now that I'm sort of like, that is not safe and that is not comfortable. And I really don't want to do that.
Like, yes.
Could I just have a year of reprieve, God? And he's like, no, I want you to step out in faith and trust me, not for the results, not for whatever happens, but just for the obedience because you get to see me be faithful. And so I just really appreciate your heart and your passion and just the truth that you bring in this book. And also, it's just a really interesting book because you have such great stories. I mean, the Adam story is just one little tiny, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, you just need to get this book for the stories, but then also the truths in it. And so, Jessica, thank you so much. Thank you for writing this book. Thank you for living your life in a way that is outrageous to some people,
mm-hmm.
but that God is using it to impact so many lives. And I just want to encourage everyone who's listening, go get a copy of Unlimited Motherhood, Overcome 12 Limits That Overwhelm and Conflict Our Hearts. And we'll link that in the show notes.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.